Let's bow our heads before we sit down. Father, thank you so much that you are present in this place. Thank you for the privilege to worship. Father, to assign worth to you, to give you glory for all that you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we rest in this moment in the reality of what we have just sung. Lord, it is well with our soul. Because of what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. We celebrate that today, and we just invite you into this place to renew us, to energize us, Lord, and to give us hope in the midst of, Lord, whatever circumstances we're going through. We pray for those, as Jeff already has, in London, who have experienced yet another tragedy last night. We pray for the families, the victims, those who are fearful, Lord, and we're just reminded that fear of man will prove to be a snare, that you are sovereign, you are control, Lord, and they may kill the body, but they will never, never destroy our souls in Christ. And we just acknowledge that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, happy summertime, church. Ian, are you glad school's out?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Praise the Lord. Oh, he's quick. That's good. Well, school's out. Vacations have begun. VBS, as Ellen said, is right around the corner. I just want to remind you guys this morning that our vision here at Tapestry is to weave Christ into the fabric of this community. One heart and one life at a time. And Vacation Bible School is one of our key events to do just that and to introduce young families here in the Roswell, Alpharetta area to what God's doing at Tapestry. So I want to encourage you, as Ellen did once again, to reach out. Think about today, not while I'm preaching, but think about today and this week. Be attentive to young families who have children, and just extend an invitation to them. Let them know what's going on at Vacation Bible School. And if you've never been around here for that week, I tell you, it is without question the most exciting week of the year here. It's a blast. And if you have an opportunity to volunteer and step up and work it, please just let Ellen know. There's a lot of negative stuff going on in the world, isn't there? I mean, just simply surrounds us. There's a lot of ugliness in the world today. Again, the terrorist attack once again in London last night, and you know, all the political mess and just the negative news and everything. It's hard to find something positive in our culture today. So I thought as we enter summertime here, we would turn our attention to some good things. And what I want to do this summer, over the next 5 weeks or so, is to just give you a little shot of joy, if you will, to kick your summer off. So over the next month or so, we're going to be walking through the most joyful book in the Bible. It's the book of Philippians. We're not going to be talking about a head in the sand, ignorance is bliss kind of joy, but joy and peace that reside in the midst of the challenges that we will inevitably face. How many of you could use a little more joy in your life right now? Anybody? Man, I think we could always use more joy in our lives. I know I could. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi. It was a church that was facing pressure from the culture around it. Does that sound familiar? I think the church is facing more cultural pressure today than at least in my opinion, I have experienced in my 25 years in the ministry. Times have changed, and there is definitely a division occurring more significantly than we I think I've seen in the past, and it is a much more vocal division when it comes to folks pushing against the church. And so Paul writes this letter to the folks in Philippi, and they're facing a lot of pressure from the culture around them, and they're experiencing some disunity in the church because of it. He penned Philippians along with Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians while he was in a Roman jail. So that's important as we move through the book of Philippians as far as the context, remembering where Paul was and what Paul himself was experiencing while he wrote these words. And that's why they call these letters the prison epistles in the New Testament. Philippians was written around 61 A.D. It was written to a church that Paul had started with some other fellows on his second missionary journey about 10 years prior. And so the church in Philippi, when Paul wrote this letter to them, was about our age, if you will, when it comes to churches. Just a little bit younger than Tapestry currently is. It was the first church that was ever established on the European continent. It's in now what is now northern Greece is where Philippi is located. And though Paul wrote this letter while he was in chains, his joy in the Lord could not be contained. It's something for us to emulate, something for us to model as followers of Christ today. When people are asked what their favorite book in the Bible is, Philippians is consistently at the top of the list. How many of you would say that Philippians is your favorite book in the Bible? Yeah? Yeah? Several of you? Okay. Anybody else? Philippians, without a doubt, is my favorite book in the New Testament. I just absolutely love it and love preaching through it and sharing the joy that Paul shares through it with you. Philippians is a rich book that just pours the heart of Christ into us no matter what we're going through. It has a way of putting a smile on your face and joy in your heart as you read it. Just four short chapters, and I want to encourage you as we start this study and you launch into summertime to put Philippians on your summertime reading list. Start this week reading it as we go through it on this journey together. It has probably the most popular memory verses per chapter or per word capita, if you will, than any other book in the Bible. And I think that's because we're all drawn to joy. We're all drawn to joy. And given Paul's situation, I believe he wrote this letter not only as an encouragement to the Philippians, but also as an encouragement to himself. Paul understood the principle that the best way to maintain your own joy is to bring joy to others. How many have you discovered that? The best way to maintain your own joy is to bring joy to other people. In other words, the best way to put a smile on your own face is to bring a smile to somebody else's face. I was thinking this week, you know, if emojis existed in the first century, which I don't believe they did, certainly the way they do today, I'm confident Paul would have used this one as a postscript to the letter to the Philippians. It was an infusion of joy for this young church. Someone once said that a smile improves your face value. Think about that. A smile improves your face value. I couldn't agree more. Recent studies also show that the act of smiling increases serotonin levels in your brain. It lifts your mood. It attracts other people to you. Mother Teresa put it this way. She said, every time you smile at someone, it's an act of love. It's a gift to that person. It's a beautiful thing. We're going to talk about the theology of Philippians. We're going to look at the original language. We're going to look at the historical context. But I believe if we miss the fact, as followers of Jesus Christ, that a smile is a reflection of our hearts, I think we miss the boat. As those who claim to have unsurpassed joy, it is essential that we get that message to our faces. Amen. If you want to lead an attractive life, start by putting a smile on your face. It draws people to you. It starts conversations. It changes your mood, and it leaves people wondering what in the world you've been up to. The book of Philippians is all about keeping a smile on your face. It's all about keeping joy in your heart, regardless of your circumstances. Paul's protege, Timothy, is with him in Rome. Many believe that Timothy was the scribe as Paul dictated this letter in chains. He's writing to thank the church in Philippi, specifically for the gift that they sent to him while he was in prison. In chapter 1 of Philippians, if you've got your Bibles or you got your phone with your Bible on it, turn with me now to Philippians chapter 1 in the New Testament. Standard greeting for a letter in the first century. Paul introduces himself and Timothy. He says, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons," he says, "grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Chapter 1, I believe, contains at least four keys for us when it comes to maintaining our joy, no matter what life brings our way. First and foremost, Paul is very intentional about letting the Philippians know that they're not alone. That they're not alone. He says this in verse 4. He says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." He says, "In all my prayers for all of you." Remember where Paul is. Remember what Paul's going through. He says, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." How many of you make it a habit to just pick up the phone or text a friend just to say, "Hey, I was thinking about you today"? Some of you do that. I cannot tell you. I get those texts from time to time from many of you. Say, "Hey, I'm praying for you. I was thinking about you today. I heard this and I just wanted you to know that you were on my mind," or what have you. I cannot tell you what that does for me. How many of you have received a phone call, a text, or just been in a conversation like that? Boy, there are a few things for me that will lift my spirits when I'm going through a difficult time than to just know that somebody else is in it with me. That somebody else cares, that somebody else is praying for me, that somebody else wants to lock arms with me and help me get through this thing. And that's exactly what Paul is reinforcing to the church in Philippi right here. Man, it strengthens me and it reminds me that I'm not alone in the fight. And if you want to be a joy bringer in your life, like the Apostle Paul, make it a habit to do that for other people. Make it a habit to call or text and say, "Man, I thank God every time I remember you." In other words, you're on my mind. You're on my mind. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's just encouraging that somebody else is thinking about me. And somebody else took the time to encourage me and to try to lift me up. As the Philippian church was feeling pressure from the world around it, Paul was simply reminding them that they're not alone. And if we're going to maintain our joy, that's something we've got to know as followers of Jesus Christ, as the ecclesia, as the church, as the called out ones. We've got to know that we're in this thing together as the body of Christ. And that we're not walking this path alone. And that we're not going through the fire alone. Just knowing that, knowing that somebody else is with you, is enough to keep you pressing on. And Paul did that with the Philippians. We all need partners in the gospel. Paul says, I always pray because of your partnership in the gospel. We all need others who are willing to pray for and encourage us to press on in this journey. We need joy fillers in our lives, not joy killers. Let me ask you something this morning. Who are you partnered with in the gospel? Who encourages you in the Lord? And we need other believers in our lives to remind us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that He is with us always. And having those folks with us, those other believers, like having Jesus with skin on, just to remind us that we're not alone in this fight. And when it comes to the soul, isolation breeds desolation. Isolation breeds desolation. And so I ask you, who is fanning the flame of joy in your life? If you're not intentional about maintaining joy in your life, if you're not intentional about keeping a smile on your face, the world will wipe it right off of there. This world will suck the joy and the life right out of you. If you are not intentional about surrounding yourself with people who bring joy, with people who lift you up, with people who encourage you, you're no match. I'm no match for the world around us. Surround yourself with joy bringers. If you don't have a partner like that in the gospel, if you're sitting here saying, you know, I don't have really anybody who's encouraging me like that. I don't have anybody who is just pumping joy consistently into my life. Nobody ever texts me and says they're thinking about me. I want to challenge you to do something. Identify somebody whose faith you admire. Give them a call. Invite them to lunch. Tap them on the shoulder while you're here. And ask them if they would pray for you. Invite them to lunch. Ask them if they would pray for you. Ask them if they would encourage you in your faith. And I tell you, I have yet to see a mature Christian refuse that request. I mean, you've got to be intentional. You've got to be vulnerable. You've got to be willing to open yourself up to someone else if you're in that desolate place. And I'll tell you what, wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ will latch on to you in a heartbeat and become the most encouraging thing that you have ever experienced in your life. But you've got to take that first step. That's what our small groups are all about here at Tapestry, is getting in a small circle where you can be vulnerable, where you can be open, where you can lock arms with some other people and be encouraged and receive shots of joy when you're together. You want to maintain joy, surround yourself with joy bringers. Know you're not alone. And then as Paul reminds his friends in Philippi, and know that God is always, always at work in your life. Whether you can feel it or not, God is always at work. Philippians 1:6, this is one of those memory verses that just litters Philippians. Paul says this, he says, being confident of this, knowing this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul reminds us that no matter what life looks like, no matter what life feels like, God is always working for our good. God's a finisher. He created you, and He will finish what He started. And I don't know about you, but I need to hear that sometimes when the darkness comes, when the difficulty rolls in. I need joy bringers in my life to remind me that God is still working when I'm not seeing it. And it's easy to go negative. It's easy to go critical. It's easy to blame God. It's easy to blame other people. It's easy to shake your finger at Him when things don't go your way. So we need people in our lives who will remind us that God is at work. No matter how we feel, no matter what we're experiencing, and that God has our best interest at heart. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Man, God loves you beyond anything that you can possibly imagine. He created you. Ephesians says that you're His masterpiece. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And first and foremost, that is to connect to Jesus Christ by faith. And when we do that, He says that He will finish the work that He has begun in us. God's at work. You may not see it right now, but it is the truest thing about who He is. And He has your best interest at heart. We need people who will remind us of that. And if you want to maintain your joy, surround yourself with joy bringers and ditch the joy drainers. Well, I minister to these people. I'm not telling you not to minister to folks, but I'm telling you what, if you have more joy drainers in your life than you have joy bringers in your life, you're going to end up going down with them. It's just a fundamental principle. Bad company corrupts good character. Surround yourself with joy bringers. Ditch the joy drainers, unless they're your spouse, and then I would suggest counseling. And I'm serious. Man, the greatest challenge in this life, the noblest path in this life, is to find the good. Is to find the good and to recognize that God is still at work regardless of how things may look around us or how we might feel. God is not a feeling. Jesus is not a feeling. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? He's a fact. And His presence in our life is a fact, not a feeling. The noblest path is to find the good. And so wherever you are this morning, know that God has not forsaken you. Know that He is on your side. And as a believer, He is working to conform your character to that of His own Son. The Philippians needed to hear that, and so do we. Joy grows when you know you're not alone. Joy grows when you're confident that God is at work in your life and when you're mindful that there is a larger story being written. When we get out of our myopic little view of life and we broaden back to this grand picture of God's plan, not just for our life, but God's plan for every individual that He has ever created, we begin to see things differently. Listen to what Paul said. He says, now I want you to know, this is verse 12. He said, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, being in prison, being in chains, he says, has really served to advance the gospel. This horrible thing that, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, that's awful. He says, I want you to know that it has served something good. It has served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So Paul is using what appears to be an extraordinarily difficult situation to advance the cause of Christ. So no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what we're going through, God has a plan and a purpose for us in it to advance the gospel. He says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. And people are watching you as a follower of Jesus Christ when you go through stuff. I have seen countless lives changed. Countless people come to know Christ simply by watching a Christian go through tragedy and pain well. And saying, I want what they've got. I want what they've got. And we go through tragedy and we go through pain well when we understand that there is a larger story in play. Paul says in verse 19, he said, "For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." Whatever's happening to me, he said, is going to turn out for my good. Paul would ultimately be beheaded in Rome. And my sense is, to his last and dying breath, he is echoing this very same thing. And whose words are we reading today? His words. Advancing the gospel. An attitude. Joy in the midst of pain and difficulty in life. And glorifies God. And it gives us a reason to press on. And how many of you can look back at events in your own life that were tragic and painful and made absolutely no sense at the time, but as the years have passed, you can see the larger story. It's always in retrospect. You can see how God took that event and how He used it for the good. Even the most horrible things that life brings our way. And that's what Paul is reminding the Philippians of here. Bad things are going to happen to good people, period. We live in a fallen world, but there is a larger story that is being written through the pain. Paul said to the Romans themselves, he said, "And we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love Him, those who have been called according to His purpose." We know that in how many things? All things, everything, God is working for the good. In other words, you can choose to trust God and be better, or you can ditch God and be bitter. See it every day. Trusting God always fosters joy because there's a larger story in play and we're not the central character. Jesus is. Jesus is. He is the central character in all of humanity. He is the central character in this book from Genesis to Revelation. And the furthering of the gospel, the furthering of the good news that salvation is available to reconcile us to our Creator is paramount. It's the theme of the entire story. And it is the theme of each of our lives who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. Paul understood that, and he refocused the Philippians on the bigger picture. And finally, if we're going to maintain our joy on this journey, we got to know that pain is part of it. Amen? Pain is part of it. There are certain streams of Christianity that will almost tell you if you have enough faith, not almost, they will tell you, if you have enough faith, you will not experience these things. That is a lie. That is an absolute lie. Jesus said, in this world, this is a promise. He said, in this world you will have what? Trouble. Tribulation. In this world, you're going to experience pain. Man, life hurts sometimes. And sometimes it's all too often. Paul said this. He said, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, to come to Christ, to come into that saving relationship with Him, but also to suffer for Him." That's clear, isn't it? Jesus said, "If I suffered, you too will suffer." He says, "Since you were going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." Again, Paul comes back around. "I'm in it with you, man. I'm in the fight. And I want to just remind you that this is not out of the ordinary, that you are promised pain this side of heaven." Paul goes on to close the first chapter in verse 27. He says, "Whatever happens, I want you to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, whether I ever get out of this prison or not," he said, "I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel." And fan the flames, of joy in your life. Surround yourself with people who bring joy to your life. Know that you're not alone. Know that God is always at work in you, regardless of how things look or how you feel. Know there's a larger story in play, and that pain is part of it this side of heaven. Keep a smile on your face. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just the encouragement that we receive from your word. Thank you that our joy is not found through things. It's not found through anything really in this world. We can experience moments of happiness and Lord, satisfaction here, but never fully. Never fully. We thank you that our joy and our strength is in Christ Jesus alone. And Lord, I pray today for those who are just kind of numb this morning. Life has just kind of taken its toll, and it does. It does on all of us from time to time. Father, I pray that you would just infuse them with your Spirit, even in this moment. Lord, and you would just lift their hearts to a place of joy. And Father, I pray that you would send joy bringers into their lives. And Father, they would muster up the courage perhaps to reach out to someone that they admire who can bring joy and encourage them in the walk. Father, I thank you for this body of Christ. I thank you for all the joy that it brings to my life. I thank you for the joy bringers who are here. And Lord, the blessing that you have for each of us that we might journey together with Christ. And I pray that prayer in his name. Amen.